Show, transcribed direct from Hollywood, with Les Brown and his band of renown, our singing star, Margaret Whiting, our special guest, Henry Fonda, and here he is, Bob Hope.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you, Bill. Very happy to be back here. And out here in California, we're having some wonderful weather. I feel so full of vigor, I was just mistaken for Donald O'Connor. Really. I met Phil Harris this morning. He thought I was Donald O'Connor. Of course, he also thought it was last night. I really was mistaken for Donald O'Connor the other day. Two women passed me on Vine Street and one said, "Hello, Donald." She must have thought I was really young and fresh-looking because then she turned to her friend and said, "Isn't that Donald Crisp?" And this is a wonderful time of the year for gardening. I'd be out digging in my garden like everyone else except for my tax setup. The way things are now, if I strike oil, I'm ruined. This is the time of the year when gardeners plant things. Of course, Jack Benny does his planting all year round. I started a garden 3 weeks ago, but I haven't done much with it. Zsa Zsa Gabor's swimming pool is on the other side of the hedge. And you'd be surprised how little you can plant when you're standing on tiptoe. And did you see the automobile? The manufacturers brought out their new cars, you know. You can see them in any used car lot in town. One new car even has a television set in the rear window. It's very convenient for motorcycle cops. While they're chasing you, they can watch Dragnet. And the new models are so automatic that pretty soon we'll have cars running around without drivers. Of course, we've had that in California for years. Altogether, it's been a rough week for me. Monday, I lost my wallet. Yesterday, I got hit by a truck. And this morning, I got a letter from Crosby. And you can always tell when Bing has left Hollywood. The Bank of America looks like a saloon in a ghost town. It's a very nice letter. I'll read some of it to you. Bing says he's staying a week in Ireland, a week in England, a week in Scotland, and 4 hours in Paris. I know people get old, but this is ridiculous. Bing has plenty of company in Europe. So many movies are being filmed over there, there's nobody left in Hollywood except Francis, the Mule, and Lassie. The three of us had lunch together yesterday at the Brown Derby. And you know, foreign films are becoming very popular over here. I saw an Italian picture at a drive-in movie last night, and it was very entertaining. It was wonderful to be able to hear Italians speaking the Romance language and at the same time look around and see Americans acting it out. It gives me great pleasure to present one of our leading actors of the screen in the legitimate theater, the star of those fine plays, Mr. Henry Fonda, right here. Thank you. Say, it's nice to have you with us, Henry. You don't get back to Hollywood very often, do you?
Only when I'm on tour with a play. I guess I'm a tourist.
Not quite, Henry. To be a tourist, you have to wear an orange sports shirt and pink slacks and keep saying in a loud voice, "What's so great about California? We have twice as much sunshine back in Peoria."
You know something? I've been in Peoria, and they do have twice as much sunshine.
Tourists. Anyway, Henry, it's wonderful to have you back with us again. And since you've been concentrating on plays, we thought we'd do one tonight, okay?
Sure, that's fine. But there's one thing, Bob.
What's that?
Well, there's two of us, and a play only needs one leading man.
You mean you're wondering what you're doing here?
No. I'm wondering what you're doing here.
You sound like my sponsor, but I don't think we'll have any trouble on that score. In your play, Point of No Return, there are parts for two men, aren't there?
Well, yes, Bob, but the men are enemies.
So what? You can manage to hate me for 30 minutes, can't you?
Sure. Easy.
I'm not sure I like the way you said it.
I mean just acting, of course.
Oh, good. By the way, Henry... That's a very unusual title, Point of No Return. What does it mean?
Well, it means that once you've committed yourself to a course of action, you've got to see it through. There's no backing out.
I had something like that happen to me once, Henry. I had to keep going right on through.
What was it?
Well, I got my finger caught in the wringer of our washing machine. I was rolled out so flat when I got undressed, I had to scrape my clothes off with a putty knife. Anyway, Henry, tonight we're going to do our version of Point of No Return, so let's get on with it.
I'm ready.
This is the story of two men who work in a bank. Both are clerks and are competing for the job as vice president of the bank. Only one man can get the job. He'll be happy and successful, while the other will be bitter and disillusioned, his dream shattered. As our story opens, one of the clerks has arrived in the bank to start the day's work.
That's me, Bob Harris. 39 years old and still a bank clerk. And in my class yearbook, it said, Magna cum triumphum magnifico, which is Latin for once a jerk, always a jerk. In my job, I handle thousands of dollars every day, but I never have any money for myself. Piles of money all around me and I'm broke. It's like living next door to Jane Russell and going steady. I've got to get that job as vice president. All my life, I've played my cards carefully, made only the right moves. When I buy clothes, I get dark suits. When I came to this town, I joined the country club. And when I got married, I married a girl. Conservative, that's me. I've got to get that job as vice president.
Well, you've met Bob Harris, folks. Now let's meet the other clerk who has just walked into the bank and is hanging up his hat.
My name is Henry Fremont. I think I should have that job as vice president. I handle a lot of money in this bank, too. And when the auditors were here last week, I wasn't a penny short. Partly because I'm honest, and partly because I was very lucky this season at Santa Anita. I really need a larger salary. My wife and I can hardly keep up appearances. When there's a dance at the country club, I'm the only man there wearing a tuxedo jacket and blue jeans. Our friends don't know whether I'm there to dance or fix the plumbing. But I'm practically certain to get the job as vice president because I don't have much competition. You've already met the other clerk, Bob Harris, so I don't have to tell you what an idiot he is. Besides, Bob couldn't be vice president of a bank. He'd be more at home in a zoo. From the back, he looks like an overweight ape waddling along, and from the front, he looks like a monkey with a banana sticking out of his face. Here he comes now. Morning, Bob.
Oh, good morning, Henry.
I've seen stupider-looking faces, but I don't know where. How you doing, Bob?
Oh, fine, just fine. What an egghead. How can one guy look like Mel Torme and sound like Tallulah?
Look at that sappy grin on his silly-looking face. And those vacant brown eyes. They ought to be staring... They ought to be staring over a fence at the Chicago Stockyard. Say, stupid, I mean, Bob.
Yeah, Henry, what's on your mind?
Mind.
I'm flattering him. He hasn't got anything in that skull except the empty places where his marbles used to be. You'll see, Mr. Harkins will pick me to be vice president.
How can you possibly expect to win out over me?
What do you mean?
Well, it stands to reason. I'm more intelligent than you are. I had to be smart to get out of Harvard Law School.
Yes, Harvard got a stone wall around it and guards with machine guns.
No.
Then I had to be even smarter to get out of my school.
What school did you go to?
The Cleveland House of Correction for juvenile delinquents, criminal types, and human misfits. I majored in all three categories.
Bob, we're silly to argue about the promotion.
Hey, look out. Here comes the boss.
Bob! Henry!
He's in a better mood than usual. He's only in a rage.
What's the matter, Mr. Harkins?
I'll tell you what's the matter. Harris, did you okay this loan for $10 million?
Oh, that? Well, the company I loaned it to sounded like a reliable firm, sir.
A reliable firm? It says here they call themselves the Society for the Care and Feeding of Motherless Pollywogs in the Asiatic Sea.
Yes, sir, it sounded good to me. There was only one question in my mind about the loan, sir.
What's that?
What's a pollywog?
And you, Fremont.
Yes, sir?
Can't you do a simple errand and get it straight? I told you to take the adding machine out and have it overhauled. I didn't say have it tuned.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm very sorry, sir. Isn't the adding machine all right?
No, it isn't all right. Every time I add up the bank's assets, it plays get out of here before it's too late.
Well, I'm sorry, sir.
Me too, sir.
Is that all you can say, you hopeless nincompoop? You're sorry? Get out of my sight, both of you! Get out of my sight!
Yes,
yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Well, he's gone. He didn't scare me a bit.
He didn't scare me either. You sure he's gone?
Yeah.
Well, let's get out. It's kind of crowded here in this wastebasket.
That songbird, Margaret Whiting, now sings I Believe, backed up by Les Brown and his Palladium Boys. Come in, Maggie.
Drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. I believe that somewhere in the darkest night, a candle glows. I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come to show the way. I believe above the storm, the smallest prayer will still be heard. I believe that someone in the great somewhere hears every word. Every time I hear a newborn baby, touch a leaf or see the sky, then I know why I believe. I believe above the storm, the smallest breath still be heard. I believe that someone in the great somewhere hears every word. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry,
we continue with our version of Point of No Return.
Now,
As the weeks go by, the rivalry between the two bank clerks, Robert Harris and Henry Fremont, grows stronger. Which of them will be chosen vice president of the bank? As the suspense increases, even their home lives are affected by the situation.
I don't understand it, Robert. I don't know why you don't walk right in and ask Mr. Hawkins who's going to get the vice president's job.
But, baby lamb, that's not the way things are done in the bank.
Well, I don't care how things are done at the bank. Now, we need more money and... Oh, Robert, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, letting your wife scrub floors.
Yeah, well, lots of wives scrub floors.
Yeah, but not other people's.
Don't worry, dollhead. If I get this job, I'll dress you in the finest. You'll be the only scrub woman on the block with mink knee pads. Little lamb fuzz you.
Why don't you go to the boss and tell him how stupid that Henry Fremont really is?
Oh, I couldn't do that.
Well, why not?
Well, no matter what happens, I want to be as square as possible.
I think you've got a great start. Robert, you know what's wrong with you? You don't assert yourself. That's why they don't appreciate you down there.
Oh, Mr. Harkins ought to know how hard I work by this time. I keep three secretaries busy.
You do?
Yeah, two of them with office work.
Well, I like that. Exactly what goes on with you and the third secretary?
She shoots a great game of pool. Now stop nagging me, will you? If I don't get the promotion, so what? I can always go back to my old job.
Some job. Chicken massager in a poultry market.
Well, it wasn't such a bad job. After they plucked the chickens, I used to smooth out the goose pimples with lotion.
Robert, haven't you got any ambition at all? Don't you want to take care of your family? Look at poor Junior. He's got to have braces for those big buck teeth.
Well, I don't mind those buck teeth. It gives him character. He's the only kid in the neighborhood who looks like he swallowed a pitchfork.
Teeth have got to be fixed as soon as possible. They stick out much too far.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Every time he smiles, he cuts his own shoelaces.
Robert, I'm warning you for the last time. Tomorrow morning, I want you to walk into that bank, and I want
you... Nag, nag, nag. That's all you ever do, nag, mag. That's all you ever do. I'll bet Henry Fremont isn't going through this with his wife.
Henry, I don't understand how a man as intelligent as you are can still be working as a bank clerk after all these years.
Now, dear, I'm doing the best I can.
It just doesn't seem right, that's all. To think that a college man should have to compete with that stupid Bob Harris.
Don't underestimate Bob. He saved the bank a lot of money in office equipment.
How?
We use his nose for a spindle.
I can't imagine. Imagine them even considering him for vice president.
You're right, dear. Harris is a fake. Even his clothes are phony.
What do you mean, phony?
Every half hour he goes into the vault with a bicycle pump.
A bicycle pump?
Yeah, he has a leaky valve in his shoulder pad. Yesterday he pumped him up too high.
What happened?
His left shoulder exploded and blew him into the powder room.
Seem possible that anyone could be like that.
Ah, Bob isn't such a bad guy, except for the way he tries to ingratiate himself with the boss.
How's that?
Well, every time Mr. Hawkins goes for a ride in his car, he goes along to help.
To help?
Yeah. Bob sits on the front bumper and yells, "Out of the way, you peasants."
That sounds exactly like him.
Ah, Bob has his good points, if you look for them.
I think he's vulgar, cheap, moronic, stupid, dishonest, crafty, hateful, obnoxious, and a general all-around pest.
See, I told you he had his good points. Well, anyway, the whole thing's going to be decided tomorrow. Mr. Hawkins is going to give us his decision then.
You don't think he'd ever pick Bob for the vice president's job, do you?
Ah, he'd never fit in with that board of directors. They're just a bunch of stodgy old men who sit around all day and tell dull stories and bum jokes and... Say, maybe he'd fit in after all. Anyway, we'll know the answer tomorrow.
Well, come in, Harris. Come in, Fremont. Sit down. Help yourselves to the cigars.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Well, boys, this is the big moment. The bank will soon have a new vice president.
I hope you'll choose me, Mr. Hawkins. I have some great ideas to increase our business.
Really?
But really, I've got a lot of good ideas. I've got a lot of good ideas myself, Mr. Hawkins.
The man I pick for vice president has to be absolutely reliable in every respect. Completely trustworthy.
Well, I'm trustworthy, Mr. Hawkins. I know how to handle large sums of money, millions.
Ha ha, that's funny. I bet you've never even seen $1 million.
Yes, I have. I was with Jack Benny once when he took off his shoes. He was wearing uranium argyles and platinum Dr. Scholl's foot pads.
This is a serious matter, Harris. I want my vice president to be a man of unimpeachable character. And because of his high position, he must know the best people, go to the best places.
Well, I go to the best places. New York for the theater season, Long Island for the yachting season, Fresno for the grape crushing season.
Fresno for the grape crushing season?
Yeah, they're paying $2 a bushel if you have flat feet.
Well, men, I think it's time for me to announce my decision. Naturally, we need a vice president who can do a lot for our bank.
Well, I've already done a lot of things for the bank, Mr. Hawkins. After that hold-up scare, didn't I completely redesign the lock in the main vault?
That's true.
Yeah, now it won't open unless you get 3 cherries straight across. If you get me the job, Mr. Hawkins, I'll devote all my time to the bank. I won't be like Harris here, a scatterbrain who's always running off in all directions.
Don't listen to him, Mr. Hawkins. I'm heart and soul in banking. Lots of men dream about Rita Hayworth and Lana Turner, not me.
Now, what do you dream about?
A safety deposit box and a tight sweater.
See, Mr. Hawkins, Harris doesn't know what he's talking about, but I do. Well, I've got a plan that'd improve the operation of the whole bank.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, I'd start by shifting all the personnel. I'd move Johnson to new accounts. I'd put Wilkins in trust department. I'd move Simpson to the supply room and Green to the stock room.
Wait, wait, you haven't mentioned me. What room would I be in?
You think you could operate a roller towel?
Well, I could give it a whirl. Well, tell us, Mr. Harkins, who's the new vice president? Is it me or Henry?
I won't keep you in suspense any longer. Here's our new vice president. He's just joining the bank. Mr. William Grant. Come in, Grant.
Hello, gentlemen.
What? You pass us up for an outsider?
Well, now, I know I'm a new man, but I think we can all get along together.
Where's he from? The International Correspondence School? No, sir. I'm not going to take orders from a guy who walks in off the street after I've worked here all my life. I don't kowtow to anybody. I don't lick anybody's boots. I'm not a stooge.
That goes for me, too. Don't try to push us around, buddy.
Oh, I've tried to be pleasant about this.
Now, wait a minute.
But I can be tough, too.
Now, look at him.
I'm in charge. So I've just got this to say. Get out of here. Get out of here immediately!
Say, Henry. Have you put on some weight?
Yeah, why do you ask?
There used to be plenty of room for both of us in this wastebasket.
To you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.